Hi everyone, welcome to the Miss Tina Show. I'm your host, Miss Tina. Thank you so much for joining me today. I created the Miss Tina Show for one reason only, and that was you. I wanted you to have a sacred place where you could find refuge, feel safe again, rest a while, and experience the wonderful and beautiful healing energies of love and light. For you see, love and light does still exist. They exist within my heart and within my soul. And unfortunately, in case you haven't noticed, the human race is really going through a very difficult time. And many of its members are literally going mad. And the world's just destroying what we have come to know as our normal way of life has also just begun. You can expect, in general, the human consciousness to become even more consumed with rage, darkness, and polarization within the next 3 to 5 years. Unfortunately, it's not going to get better. It's going to get even worse. I want to help you, and I know that I can, with my spiritual and healing gifts. Perhaps tonight you can just consider me your new best friend. Someone whom you can count on, like a beacon of light and love, who you can spiritually connect with every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.bbsradio.com/Miss Tina Show. Again, heard live worldwide every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.bbsradio.com/Miss Tina Show. And during my weekly show, whenever your pain just gets a little bit too much for you to handle or carry anymore, you're feeling really lost and confused, become deeply frightened, exhausted, and you just don't know what to do, I want you to pick up your phone and I want you to reach out to me on air. And that number, jot it down or text it in, 888-627-6008. Again, I want you to reach out to me. From this moment on, there's no need for you to ever feel that you're alone. There's no reason for you to ever feel that no one cares. For you to feel that you have to go through this all by yourself. You don't. I'm here. I got your back. And I want you to call in 888-627-6008. And I assure you, you're going to feel a lot better the moment that we connect on air. Now, before we begin, I'd also like you to reach out right now to your family and friends. You could text them, email them, and invite them to join us today for the next 50-so minutes, because I want to help them too as well along the journey. Now, a little about me. Who is Miss Tina? Well, first of all, please jot down my website address, www.missmissTinaShow.com. That's www.missTinaShow.com. And in your own time, when you have a moment, please discover who I am. This might be the first time you've met me, but I've been around a while. This isn't my first rodeo. I was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, on a cold and windy night at 6 p.m. on January 26. And unbeknownst to my earthly parents and, you know, close relatives, they not necessarily were prepared for what about was coming into that family. I was definitely different from the Roman Catholic, Italian, you know, family members that I chose to incarnate into. At a very early age, I mean as young as 3 and 4 years old, I immediately could tell the difference between my awareness, my consciousness, as well as my gifts and abilities, in comparison to what my mom and dad, my earth parents, how they functioned every day, what they felt, what they believed in, what they were capable of doing and not capable of doing. There was a huge difference. And art school made absolutely no sense to me at all. Outside just getting a, you know, good few chocolate chip cookies and a glass of milk, maybe. That was about the only thing I really enjoyed out of art school way back when. But I was born with the gift of sight, an extraordinary gift of sight. And what does that mean, for instance? Well, it allowed me to see things. What I, at a very young age, discovered that most people, and still to this day, it's like, why not, are unable to see. And I'm going to give you a few examples, because I know a lot of you are, I'm going to kind of like, I just can't wait for the fun. I'm trying to compose my excitement. It's like, we're going to have a lot of ding, ding, ding moments today, and from this moment on every Wednesday night. But one of the examples in sight, and we'll talk about dream interpretation too, because that is the window of everything, of when you go to sleep at night, and your true gifts and abilities as a soul of a spiritual being, an energetic being, are reawakened again. And unfortunately for many people, they kind of fall asleep. They almost go into a spiritual amnesia when they are so-called awakened, you know, in the 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. time slot of living. I find, in general, my opinion is that people are more awakened and alive when they're asleep than when they're actually living in the robotic stage of earthly life during the daytime. But when I was 17 years of age, that's when my healing work and intuitive work began publicly. And I began to interpret, of all things, other people's dreams and nightly visions, reoccurring dreams, and so forth. And it was, you know, I'll give you just a little age reference. I'm 67 years of age now. So I began my public work on local radio and television when I was 17 years old. That's 50 years ago. So if you're even old enough to begin to even reference that, the consciousness was so different back then, wasn't it? Very, very different. I mean, I was watching Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, the I Love Lucy show. And it was so different that, first of all, we only had like 3 channels of television, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and they were only on about 4 to 5 hours a day. That was it. And, of course, black and white. and our screen, if we were lucky, was 8 to 10 inches wide. But husband and wives, married couples, weren't even able to sleep in the same bed. They had to stay in two separate twin beds while on television. And look at our television today. I lost count. What is it, up to 82 inches? And over 600 channels, right? And yes, we have quite sexual activity taking place on television today. So 50 years ago, when I first arrived on the scene, I began talking to people about their dream activities. You know, when the guys first booked me, you know, especially on the FM radio stations, it was kind of like a joke. You know, we're just going to have fun with her, but she's kind of cute, you know, so we'll put her on the show. But they were really not prepared for the response that my appearances actually brought into their station, that people were so curious and wanting to know what their dreams really did mean. And then when I began to explore the actual significance of their dreams and also revealed to the callers that they were not their bodies. They were not their physical presence, their physical containers, their personalities, and so forth like that. They weren't the image or the mirror that they were seeing, you know, every morning and every night when they were brushing their teeth or brushing their hair. But in fact, there was this incredible, beautiful, powerful element of themselves, the spiritual side of them, there's no words to describe it. It's pure energy. It's pure energy that each one of you actually are at the beginning and end and in between of the day. You're not your physical containers. You're not your mirror reflections. You're not white skin, black skin, yellow skin, blue skin, purple skin. It has nothing to do with any of that. But there's this brilliant, beautiful, powerful, energetic person that lives and dwells within these human containers that we call our bodies. And in a strange way, but a miraculous way, every night when people would go to sleep and they would leave that body behind and they leave their personalities behind, they entered into another world. Another dimension. And they suddenly realize, like the most common dream, which I'm sure many of you have experienced, is the flying dreams, where you see yourself fly, right? And it's so liberating, so freeing, so healing. And then you come back, and many, what I call like rookies, they kind of have like this re-entry back into their physical body, their container, and they crash. You know, some people even fall out of their beds, right? And they crash. And they crash land. And then they wake up in the next morning and they're like, oh my God, I want to get back to that, right? That was such a beautiful experience. It was so free and it felt so natural. I mean, like that felt more natural than when I wake up in the morning, okay? And get back into my body, so to say. And then go back into my robotic matrix world as it is, you know, basically having allowed yourself to become what other people want you to become. Allowing yourself, you gave permission basically to almost disconnect from your true self, your true nature as a spiritual energetic being. And you just kind of like went to sleep during the day and robotically just, you know, did what basically other people were telling you what to do. And as life went on, you know, over the years, you might have acquired so-called humanistic success, acquired humanistic money, and all of these things that the Matrix has created through its artificial reality. But you feel still hungry and you feel like there's something wrong here, like I did what everybody has told me to do, then why do I feel so disconnected? Why do I feel like I've got this huge hole, you know, in the center of my chest? And it's just like, and you're draining. As the older you get in your earth body, your earth container, the older you get, oftentimes, if in fact, depending on how much you conformed, how much you became a good little boy or good little human girl, and you became very obedient to the matrix and denied your true spiritual sense of who and what you really are and disconnected, like you denied, you walked away from these nightly experiences. In general, I find that my listening audience, my viewing audience, they stop flying. The older they got, they didn't fly anymore. And now their dreams, in most cases, reoccurring dreams, and then the nightmares began. And basically what those nightmares and reoccurring dreams were basically trying to symbolize to them and represent, communicate to that living soul that was entrapped now within this human paradigm. You lost your way. You gave up who you really were. And you became a human, and you're far more than that. So the dream world, for me, as a young child, growing up in a very strict Roman Catholic Italian heritage background, the dream world was everything to me. It was my ticket to freedom. It was my ticket to stay in touch with my spiritual home. And I was amazed at a young child when I entered into grammar school that never once did the BVM nuns ever ask the children in the class, "Did you dream about last night?" They never talked about it, nor did they want to talk about it. So we have so much more because I want you to get to know me, but I want to get to know you too. And so I'm going to give the number out again, 888-627-6008. And you just jot that down because whenever the moment comes and you need to talk, you need to really connect, then you just dial it and I'll be here for you. And every Wednesday evening, okay, 8 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to take a short break in just a minute, and if you haven't already, I want you to go ahead and hopefully you'll subscribe to the show so that you won't forget to stay in tune with me every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And also be sure to share, now that you found me, be sure to share the show as well with everyone on the planet, okay, that you know of, because the show is being aired worldwide. So share away and have fun with that. But one of the examples that we can talk about is to show about your natural gifts and abilities that everyone does have, okay, that everyone does have. But just over the years, it's kind of like you were just denying it and kind of walked away from it. It can't be real. It can't be true. We're going to talk about this when we get back, okay? And I'll be right here waiting for you, all right?
Discover our three best spiritual self-help books on Amazon. 1. Miracles and a Prophetic Message from an Angel is a rare opportunity for you to read the phenomenal story of one woman's journey and spiritual transformation into becoming one of God's own personal healers and to bear witness to the countless miracles. 2. The best-selling guide to spiritual interpretations of your dreams guides the reader through various types of nightly visions, and provides them with profound spiritual interpretations and positive affirmations. 3. Jesus and a Roman Centurion. A past life memoir is a profound regression that captures the very essence of Jesus when a Roman centurion locates the 2-year-old Christ child and ultimately chooses to betray everything he had ever believed in or known. Learn more about us on www.mistinashow.com and see the spiritual changes within you.
Hi, welcome to the Miss Tina Show. I'm your host, Miss Tina, and I'm so glad that you decided to join me this evening. Now, be sure to share the link with everyone that you know, and also be sure to subscribe to the show, okay, so you don't miss any of my episodes from this moment on. So getting back to me a little bit to help you to know where I come from, what I'm capable of doing. So I was born with the gift of sight, and thank God for the dream world, as people would refer to it. That's what really kept my sanity, because nothing from a very young age on earth made any sense to me at all. I just didn't understand their lack of priorities. I didn't understand their obsession with things that really didn't exist, and that they had really just allowed themselves to succumb, like to almost just spiritually fall asleep, to go into a profound, deep spiritual amnesia, and to just robotically become this perfect, as it would be, humanized personality and ego-driven individual. And the true person, the soul, the spiritual essence of that person, of who they were prior to that moment that they entered within that new container, that new baby body, suddenly just disappeared. He and she no longer existed at all. And that, to this day, still it puzzles me, it really does, why anyone would willingly give up their God-given gifts and abilities, their peace of mind, their tranquility, their spiritual gifts, their healing gifts, for a man-made artificial reality. Something that doesn't even really exist, and struggle then on a day-to-day basis, basically, strictly for survival, you know, for gold and glitter, little shiny things. So by the time I was about 5 or 6 years of age, my spiritual awareness and awakening and gifts were quite profound compared to the other children that I attended school with, and most definitely with my earth parents. And one of the experiences that I had that really was one of the breaking points in my relationship with my earth parents, I always, from pretty much day one, I think from the moment I start learning how to talk, there was a struggle there for my earth parents. They just didn't quite understand me. And where I came from, the things that I was aware of, how I would know things, and from the world perspective that I was speaking of, because I was speaking from the perspective of my spiritual home, and was totally unwilling to engage in my new earth paradigm completely, because I just didn't see the benefits to give up something that was so beautiful, so fulfilling, so healing, so limitless, no restrictions, no boundaries whatsoever at all, really being a loving, free spirit, to all of a sudden constrict myself into this human container. And then all the rules and regulations as well that they were trying to indoctrinate upon me as a little girl. And little girls back then in the 50s were not very well valued, because I know I wasn't. Very little value for little girls back into the 50s. We were kind of low on the commodity level back then. But my neighbor, I was having a lot of challenges, which I talk about in my books. During the commercial, my three bestsellers were mentioned. And I openly and honestly, very transparent in my book, share about my very turbulent and very violent childhood, fortunately, that I had with my earth parents. And for a lot of reasons, we just came from two different, completely different worlds, basically. And I refused to obey. I refused to be broken in like a horse and put a bit in my mouth. I refused to let go of this natural, spiritual, energetic state that I had coming in just so that I can be a human. It just didn't make any sense to me at all. So there was a lot of unfortunate challenges as a child, a lot of physical beatings, verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, on and on and on and on. But at that time, I could say, oh, great, you know, beat me again. But it was like I understood. I was very aware of why they were so angry with me, and why they felt that they had the right, the entitlement to basically beat this indifference, this why am I so different from them and why aren't I willing to become, you know, the Catholic little Italian girl that they wanted me to become. So the beatings were pretty consistent, you know, every day, every night. It was definitely a hell on earth for me as a little girl. I really didn't enjoy it very much. However, I just made that decision at a very, very young age that I wasn't going to give up. The it in me that made me so different from everybody else around me. And because it was like, you know, if you're trying to sell me on your lifestyle, it's not working out here very well on your behalf. They really couldn't sell me over why I should give up my way of life that I came in with, who I was prior to occupying this physical body, and everything that I knew, everything that I was capable of knowing and seeing and feeling, for what, you know? Unfortunately, my mom and dad also became alcoholics as well. And they really, really did not have a happy life. I mean, it was a bad, bad earth life. And so during that time, I left home on many, many, many different occasions and would just, you know, pack a few things and go. And we're talking as young as, you know, 9 years old, 10 years old. There was no point. I wasn't going to change. They weren't going to change. I mean, we had nothing in common, basically, you know. And I felt more than confident, you know, and I don't do drama very well. So it was no point of arguing. There was no point of fighting. It wasn't that, you know, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm wrong, you're right. It wasn't like that. It was, you have free will, free choice, and so do I. And this is my life, and I'm going to live it accordingly. And no earth person, parent, no one was going to tell me who to become because and what to become and how to behave. Because when I came in, I was already me. There was already a me present. So during the trials of that time of leaving for a few days, coming back, leaving for a few days, coming back, it was quite a challenge to find a way to survive on the very volatile streets of Chicago. I grew up in the projects by Cabrini Greens. A gentleman moved in next door with his parents and eventually got married. And we became very, very, very good friends. And he was really like the only friend, human friend, that I kind of had during that time, during my childhood. Everybody else, unfortunately, in the neighborhood were gangster people, you know, and the pimps and the drug dealers, you know, those were my guys on the street, you know, that I grew up with. They were fun. So, you know, Jerry was unique. He was a nice guy. And, you know, he would hear me scream when my parents were coming after me. He would hear me crying. He would see the black and blue marks on me that they left on my, you know, physical container, my body. I mean, he was aware that things weren't right in my household. He was aware that this was very severe childhood abuse going on there. But back in the 50s, they didn't deal with it like they deal with it now. And he would call the police, and the police would come, but they would leave. And, you know, mom would say, you know, we didn't touch her, I didn't touch her, you know, she just did, you know, all that kind of thing. So anyway, long story short, he became my very, very, very good friend. And he had a basement. In Chicago, they generally have basements in the homes. Some are finished, but back then they weren't finished. And he opened up a window for me on the side of the basement of the house. And he actually put in a little cot in there for me. And he would leave some food in there for me and so forth like that. And he said, you know, whenever the beatings, whatever, the sexual abuse, whatever, got really, really bad, he said, as soon as you can, just get away. Just get away from them. Run as fast as you can away from them. Get out of the house. And rather than you going on the streets, which wasn't exactly the user-friendly place for a little white girl in a ghetto to go to, you know, I want you to just go through the basement window. I'm going to leave a window open for you, and you can just stay there in the basement as long as you want, you know, sleep. I'm not going to tell, you know, my family, my wife. I'm not telling anybody at all. This is just our little secret. I'm going to give you this little sanctuary place that you can go to when things really, really get explosive in your house, because that beats running on the streets again in the middle of the night. My God, what a gift, right? I mean, what a gift. And so that pattern began whenever things got really volatile, really dangerous. Wasn't even sure I was going to make it out that night. Because mom always said, my earth mom, she was cute, you know, I brought you into this world, and so help me God, I can take you out of it. I would run to Jerry's house. Okay, that's that side of the story. A year or two later, as that pattern was continuing, and he was just such a dear friend to me, to help me, to buy me time, because I was only 9, 10 years old. So I was trying to figure out, you know, if I leave permanently, where am I going? How am I going to survive, right? What about the Earth School? And on and on and on and on. So I was trying to figure it all out. Well, one night, and I'm still at my Earth parents' home, and I never had a bedroom of my own or anything like that. You know, they were very poor, and again, I was just a girl, so, you know, what does that matter? So I would just sleep on a little pull-out sofa mattress kind of thing in the living room. And one night, as I went to bed, I was fully aware, you know, every night before I went to bed, I was kind of like, okay, good, I'm glad I'm done with the earth life for a moment and this container and everything. I'm going to get out. And I would at will consciously have out-of-body experiences. Normal for me, just like taking off a pair of sneakers. No big deal, don't even think about it. I mean, as soon as I hit the sheets, I'm out the gate, out of my body, and I want to basically go back to home or at least be somewhere, someplace else. That's a little nicer than living in the ghetto with my earth family. And long and behold, as I went out into the astral plane, the next thing you know it, I find myself in Jerry's garage. Yes, his garage. And his car was parked in the garage. And he was sitting in the front seat behind the steering wheel. And I was in the back seat. Now you're saying, how could you be in the back seat? Wait a minute, I'm losing track of the story here. You're correct. My body, my earth body, my container was sound asleep on the mattress in my earth parents' home. But me, the spiritual self, the astral body self, the energetic being self, when I left, somehow I was notified that my dear, dear friend Jerry was in trouble. And so that astro self, the spiritual self, the self that is able and available to leave the human body at will, consciously, every night when you go to sleep, you can do it. You can do it while you're awake, you know, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, sitting at your desk if you want to. But most people do it at night when they're sound asleep. And there I was in the back seat, and I was kneeling on the back seat, and I had both hands, both arms, extended out on top of Jerry's shoulder, right hand on right shoulder, left hand on his left shoulder. And then I looked around, and I realized what was going on. Unfortunately, Jerry was a dear friend of mine, also many years ago, I mean nearly 60 years ago, and he's still in my heart and in my prayers every day. But unfortunately, because I was just a child to him at that time, he didn't feel that he could share his own pain and suffering with me. And he didn't give me the opportunity to help him like he was offering assistance to me through my tribulation and trial and errors. And the next thing I realized as I looked around, the car was running. All the windows were locked up and the garage door was closed. And Jerry was in such profound pain, suffering so deeply that he couldn't take it anymore. And unfortunately, he was just protecting me because he already knew I had my own earth problems. He didn't want to hurt me. He didn't want to burden me. And he just decided to end it all for himself. I screamed and screamed as I just so aggressively shook his shoulder. No, Jerry, no. No. But I love you. No. No one is worth it. No one. Nothing is worth it to give up your life, to lose your life. And the next thing I know, I found myself back into my human body again, in my container, in the same exact position on my mattress in the living room of my home in Chicago. I was on my knees, had my hands out and out before me, and I was still screaming and screaming, "Don't do this, Jerry. Don't do it." I immediately, as soon as I had full awareness that I was back in my body, back in my home, ran to my earth parents' bedroom, banging on the door. "Wake up, wake up. You know, he's dying, save him, rescue him." Well, we'll talk about what they did to me that night. I mean, according to them, I was possessed by the devil, okay? And within 45 minutes, an hour, the phone rang, and Jerry had committed suicide. My parents couldn't handle it, and neither could I. We have to take a short break. We'll be right back in 60 seconds, and we'll take a call. We see you have a call from Colleen. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Miss Tina Show. Over the past 40 years, Miss Tina has helped thousands of people regain clarity, peace of mind, and spiritual freedom with her intuitive, spiritual, and healing gifts. And now, she can assist you too. With one-on-one support, spiritual consultations, and healing modalities provided through online sessions via Zoom. Miss Tina specializes in intuitive consultations, spiritual life coaching, energy healing, loss of a pet consultations, loss of a loved one consultations, alien abduction consultations. Listen to what her clients say. Miss Tina is an amazing sensitive, insightful, compassionate, and a trusted spiritual teacher. Miss Tina is truly gifted, kind, and has a beautiful soothing energy that puts you immediately at ease. Join Miss Tina every Wednesday evening, live at 8 p.m. EDT on the Miss Tina Show, podcasted on the most trafficked social networks and the largest podcast portals on the planet. To schedule a private session, go to www.misstinashow.com.
Hi, welcome to the Miss Tina Show. I'm your host, Miss Tina, and thank you so much for joining me today. I'm going to take a caller in just a moment, but if you want to reach out, if there's anything at all that you'd like to ask me about, or to perhaps share with me your own personal experience, feel free to give me a call at 888-627-6008. Let's go to our caller, Pauline. Hi, Pauline.
Hello. Welcome to the BDS family. I'm glad there's a new show.
Thank you so much.
I didn't catch the entire beginning. I've been running around to see what shows are on, and I'm on a conference call right now. But I figured I'd give a buzz in and just say hi. And I heard a little bit about what you said, and then I just heard your little bit of what you do. So you're up my alley. And I'm glad you're out there, because the kids now that are coming and have all these gifts, the babies that are being born.
Yeah.
Some of us who have been on this path who haven't been born like you with all those gifts and having going through trials and tribulations and having parents who didn't get you. I'm an aware grandparent, so now I know how to sort of help them. If not me, I can direct them, and I won't let them think they're nuts. If the parents don't believe, that's fine. As long as grandma and grandpa know, you know, that's enough, that they won't be, you know, shut down. Oh, can I ask you one? Maybe this is a question I do want to ask you. Maybe you have an answer for. People who have been getting inoculated or jabbed, and even people who have decided not to, but they're spiritual people. They've made the choice based on, I guess, fear and propaganda. Do you have any solutions for any of us in case somebody might regret it and wants to somehow undo the damage? Because there's a lot of damage that's been done to people who are spiritual and people who are not spiritual. But once they take the jab, they cut their spirit off from them. But there are some who probably have much more power inside them from past lives that maybe doesn't affect them. I don't really know.
Right.
Have not been jabbed, and I won't be getting jabbed, but I've been getting all this information. Right. I'm wondering what you know or what you want to share.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for reaching out to me, and I hope you're going to put me in your calendar from now on every Wednesday night, okay? 8 yep. p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and please let all your wonderful, you know, friends and family.
Oh, I definitely will. I'm definitely going to.
Perfect. Now, you also dream very, very vividly in color, and you have great communication skills as well when you go into that astral plane. So I'm glad that that hasn't basically, you know, like become disconnected from you. So your dream activity is still very active and very much
alive. I don't remember anything. I do not remember. I put it in my body. I told my body not to remember anything. I didn't want to dream. I didn't want to be in.
No.
No.
Well, and Pauline, you called. So, darling, you don't call me, okay, and then say, nope, don't want to dream no more. You're going to find that if you choose, and I hope that you do, continue to connect with me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, that your dream activity is going to be more awakened, and that your own, you mentioned, well, like, yes, I was born awakened. I came in with all these God-given, you know, natural gifts. It's our true state. It's our natural state of who we are as spiritual beings. But what happens as soon as people incarnate into a human body, that's it. They kind of just walk away from it because there really isn't a support system. At least it wasn't back in the 50s. Today, there's a lot more. But there wasn't a support system that, like, nobody ever talked about it. And everybody would say, well, that's just a dream, you know, or when you die, you die. Or and they just were very narrow-minded and very ignorant, uneducated, right, about the truth. It was like, okay, you were a soul, but now you have to learn boot camp how to become a human, basically, you know, and how to learn how to live and function within this man-made artificial reality. To get to your question, everything, because obviously I'm not a medical doctor, everything is energy. Everything is energy. We're energy. Even our bodies, they might look solid, but they're really not solid, physical. And so it's a personal choice. And I would just say that we each have our own vibration of energy, a constitution of energy. And our energy, you know, makes all the difference in the world as far as our operating system of how our body, you know, I'm 67 and I don't even dye my hair. Okay. So obviously I have a very high frequency and that radiates in my body of good health so that I don't necessarily need a man-made, okay, substitute or something, but I am never going to tell anyone not to do what they feel they need at this time. And I obviously don't take any political stand on it whatsoever. You know, it's going to be beneficial for some, and it could possibly be harmful for others. And it really depends on your own spiritual frequency, your energetic frequency. I mean, I don't do hardly anything. I mean, I don't do any pharmaceuticals, none whatsoever. I haven't had any humanistic, man-made pharmaceuticals in my body, in my human container since I was 12 years of age. Since 12, and I'm 67. And I never, ever get sick. So that I have taken a responsibility, you know what I'm saying, ownership of my own energy field here.
Sovereignty and, to your body, right? You get your own sovereignty and do natural, right. You know, what nature gives you.
Right, and the lower you reduce your frequency. So, unfortunately, Pauline, that's what's taking place today. You know, even with the fear of something like COVID, okay, and everybody was just, and they still are to a large extent, allowing themselves to go into such a profound fear and paranoia. Again, I'm not a medical doctor, but I am an energy doctor, so to say, and that automatically reduces, it lowers your frequency automatically, which is automatically going to drop your immune system. So the key element.
What about science? Science is also not the answer to everything either. To me, it's all mind energy. It's not spirit.
Right. And I, exactly. I agree with you. And this is what they haven't really done. I mean, to some extent, Pauline, they do get into the body, mind, and spirit, like in some modalities, you know, that they will entertain that. For the most part, though, they're not there. And I don't think they're ever going to get there, personally. But they just forgot, right, that we're an energetic being.
They haven't integrated both aspects. I mean, we know the regular side, but we don't push that away. We hear it all and put it together to make a decision. We don't just say, well, that's nonsense. That's old wives' tale. But in the science, in the medical community, they don't even want to hear the other side about herbs and vitamins. And,
no.
You know, all that kind of stuff. They don't even want to hear your spirit. If you believe in God or if you don't believe in God, it doesn't matter. You believe in something higher within yourself, even.
You're absolutely right. And what I didn't introduce yet into the story of who I am and what I do, my gift of healing awakened in 1995. And I'm not talking about Reiki, no disrespect or anything like that. I'm talking about laying hands, you know, on an individual or a pet. And within seconds, you know, literally bones, tissues. I mean, if you videotaped it, you could watch it materialize.
In other words, like Jesus did, where he just had to be in your energy field and you didn't have to like do a modality, you didn't have to conjure up anything. He just had his aura around you made you heal. Is that what you do?
Correct. And the story goes back to I wrote several books. One of the books is called Miracles and a Prophetic Message from an Angel. And that's when my gift of healing actually awakened. But another book that I recently wrote is called Jesus and a Roman Centurion, a Past Life Memoir. I met that precious soul 2,000 years ago when he was just a little boy, when he was 2 years old. And I was in a man body. Hey, you know, diversity is wonderful. I was like 6'4". Yeah, I mean, boy, all I can tell you is, you know,
I don't know how to balance the divine masculine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, when I walk into a Home Depot store or a Lowe's store and the men there, you know, the guys, the dudes, you know, the good old boys, and they feel my energy. Their heads are spinning. They don't know what to do because I'm this petite little Italian girl, you know. But they feel the strength and they feel that profound masculinity of a Roman centurion also. And of course, they don't understand and it's fun. And I just kind of grin and I laugh. But I met him, you know, when he was just a little boy, when Herod the Great was having his moment and was very threatened by the stories and the rumors and so forth and so forth. If you do nothing else, I invite you to pick up a copy of Jesus and a Roman Centurion, a Past Life Memoir. And it was at that moment when I met him that he basically taught me everything. He gave it to me. He gave me the gift of healing.
Can I ask you, how do you prefer we buy your books? Which way is it? Which place?
The best way, yeah. Thank you, darling. The best way to just discover all of me is through my website, and all my books are there and direct links to Amazon. So let me give that to you and everyone else, and that's www.misstinashow.com, www.misstinashow.com. So
are you in Canada? I'm just curious. Are you physically based in Canada right now?
No, dear. I'm not.
Oh, okay, because I heard you say Toronto or something in your life.
I'm originally from Chicago, and I've lived all over the world pretty much.
Okay.
And now I'm in sunny Florida, of all places. So,
goodness, everybody's in Florida. I'm coming down to Florida.
It's the best place. Pauline is the best place to be when the world's going to come to an end. So anyway.
I'll have to ask you more privately where exactly, you know, where do you find me to go? I'll just have to look for the light.
Thank you so much. We have to run. It was just an absolute joy to connect with you this evening. And I hope you'll join me again next Wednesday, okay? And see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear. Well, we just have a few minutes to wrap it up. God, we've just begun. I hope you got to know me just a little, but I want to get to know you too, just like I got to know Pauline. I mean, we're basically, my motto has always been one God, one family, period. I keep it simple. That's all, you know? And we're all visitors, basically, of planet Earth. And this man-made artificial reality has, well, it's had its moment, I suppose, but it is dissolving now, and it is dissolving right in front of your very eyes. And again, that's why I created the Miss Tina Show, because I know I can help you, and I want to help you through this unbelievable once-in-a-lifetime paradigm shift that's about to occur on Mother Earth. Please join me next Wednesday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and subscribe to the show. See you soon.